Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
So welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Daf Ayin Zayin. Perhaps let's take a quick look again at the Mishnah at the bottom of Ayin Vav Amavetz. It says the Mishnah, Koisal Shabashne Chatzeres. So we have two courtyards adjacent to each other and a wall, a Koisal running right in between them. Govaya Asara, Varechav Abba, 10 Tfachim high, 4 Tfachim wide, in which case it creates a proper separation, creating two separate entities. Ma'arin Shnaim, Ve'e Ma'arin Echad. These two Chatzeres need to establish their own independent Erev Chatzeres. They cannot join together as one because they're separated by Machitza. Hayu Bereshit Peiris. Suppose they did that. They made a separate Erev, one for each Chatzer. So they can't transfer one to the other. But on top of this kaisel running between these courtyards, there was some fruit present on top of this kaisel, which has a surface of 4 tefachim wide, which is considered to be an entity on its own, and therefore doesn't really relate to any of these chatzeres. And therefore one can use that top surface freely without any concern of eruv. Eilu oilum mikan va'oichlin. The residents of either side of any of these chatzeres can go up to the top of the wall and partake in the fruit that is present there. Provided they don't bring the fruit down to the chatzer. Meaning they can't transfer to and from the top of that wall, because that would require an error, because the top of the wall is now being used by both of them. It's a separate entity. It can't be connected to your chatzar unless you make an erev to allow transferring one to the other. That's if we have a wall which is fully intact. Nifratza kaisel. Let's say a breach formed and the kaisel opened up somewhere. Ad esa amis, if the breach is up until 10 amis, ma'arvin shnayim, vimrotzu ma'arvin echad. Up until 10 amis is still considered a pesach. It's an access point from one chatzar to the other. What happens when there's a pesach between two chatzeres, that provides a double option. Ma'arvin shnayim, if they want, they could still maintain their own separate, independent eruvs. V'imrotzu ma'arvin echad, if they wish to, they can go ahead and join together in one eruv because they have a way to access. They have an access point, a pesach, between one and the other, which can theoretically merge them together into one usage area. V'pnei shukim pesach, because this pirtza, which is up until Tanamis, has a din of a Pesach. Yosem Mekan, if the Pirtza is greater than 10, Ma'arvin Echad. Now, inevitably, they're joined together because this wall is obsolete. There's a huge Pirtza there. Therefore, we ignore the presence of this wall. Now, we consider both Chatzeres as though they've been merged together, Ma'arvin Echad. They need to make one error for both, Bei Ma'arvin Shnayim, and they can no longer establish their own separate independent errors. Continues the Gemara. Ein boy arbo amai. So we discussed a kaisel that has a top surface, 4 tefachim wide, which case is considered to be an entity on its own. What if it does not have 4 tefachim in width? Ein boy arbo amai. What is the halacha there? This is considered like a mokim ptur, an exempt area. It doesn't have a sheer mokim. So now, it's bottle. It's considered to be subordinate to the chatzeris on either side. It doesn't have its own identity. So what is halacha in this case? Can they use the top surface or not? Amarav, they cannot use it at all. Avir shtei reshuyos shuletes boy. Both jurisdictions, both chatzeres, apply their jurisdiction to the top of the wall. They control it. It's considered to be an extension of their chatzer because it's bottled to either side. In which case now you have a conflict. It belongs to either side. It identifies with this chatzer and with this chatzer. And as a result, he can't move even a small item the size of a hair's breadth. He can't even move that much because this place is jointly controlled by both chatzeres. So in order to carry there, to carry more than 4 amos, you need to have a erev chatzeres in this joint usage area. Therefore, says Rav, don't move even a small item without an erev chatzeres. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, 3 lines from the bottom. avir beiz rishuyes shalotespoy. Kivin delechashiv lemahavir rishusa. Since it's not large enough to be chashiv, to be considered its own rishus, batel legabe tavayu. It becomes attached, batel to the both chatziris, rishus beiz chatziris shalotespoy. And both chatziris control it. And they conflict with each other because it's a joint usage area. You can't carry it unless you make an erev chatziris. And you can't even be metatal on top of the wall. That's Rav Shita. He holds, since it doesn't have significance, it's bottled to both, which makes it worse because they both control it and it's considered to be something which identifies with both chatziris, which requires an erev. Continues Gemara up on Ayin Zayin Amaral. Rabbi Yechon Amar, just the opposite. Because it's lacking significance, it's a makom tur them, we don't have to reckon with it. Eilu at ma'alu mekan va'ichlin. The fellows of this chatzah can bring food up. They can transfer from their chatzah up onto the top of the kaisel of Eilu. And likewise, the fellows on the other side, ma'alin mekan va'ichlin, they can bring up from their side onto the top of the kaisel and eat their food up there. Let's see Rashi inside on top line here. Malin mechatzera on the Rashi. They can bring things from their chatzah up to the top of the kaisel. What did the Moridin? Likewise, they can bring things down from the kaisel to their chatzah. Why? The makim pturu. Ubat lekan lekan lahakel. Rabbi Yechon says this is a makim ptur. It doesn't have a status of a rishus. It's less than four tefachim wide. In which case, it's not reckoned with. And therefore, there's no concern transferring to and from this area. So he takes the same svara and flips it around. He has a lenient application of this svara, being that it doesn't have chashivas, it's bottle, it's a non-entity, and there's no need to make erev chatziris whatsoever. Continues the Gemara. Tanan, we seem to have a kasha from our Mishnah on Rabbi Yechonah. Because our Mishnah speaks about this wall that has a surface area on top of four tefachim by four tefachim. And the Mishnah says they can both climb up to the top of the wall and eat there, but they can't transfer to and from that area. Tanan, Eilu Oilu Mikan Va'ichlin. These can go climb up on the wall of Va'ichlin and eat the food that is present there. Ve'elu, likewise, the residents of the other Chatzar. Oilin Mikan Va'ichlin. They go from the other side and eat. Oilin in. They can go up and eat. Ma'alin Loi. But they can't transfer things to the top of the wall. Now, Tosis points out, the obvious teretz would be that the Mishnah is speaking about a large and significant area, four tefachim. Why is that an akasha Rabbi Yechon is speaking about a small, insignificant area? So Tosis learns that at this point the Gemara figured that since we're dealing with the top of a wall, that's not a place which is regularly used. And therefore the Gemara doesn't differentiate between a larger size area, a smaller size area. If Rabbi Yechon allows using transferring to a small-sized area, the same concept will apply to a large-sized area. Therefore, there's no reason to differentiate, and the kasha from the Mishnah is intact. The Mishnah tells us, you can only climb up there and eat there. You can't transfer to the top of the wall. Says the Gemara, Hachi Ka'amar. This is exactly what the Gemara is going to answer. There's a difference between a large-sized area and a small-sized area. Yesh v'yarba arba. If the top surface of the wall is 4x4 tefachim, in which case, it has a din of a rishus. In that case, oilin in, yeah, they can climb up there and eat malinoi, but they can't transfer anything because it's a separate entity. It has a din of a rishus. They don't have to transfer nech chatzer up to the top of the kaisel without an erev. So all they can do is climb up there and eat whatever is there. Ein ba'ar bo la'bo. But if the top surface of the wall is smaller in size than 4x4, like the case that we are discussing, in which case it's a makom ptur, in which case it's bottle to either side, malinami. They can also bring things up onto the wall. They can transfer from the chatzar to this top surface, since it does not have a significance of a rishus. It's a makom ptur. V'azda Yechon tameh. Rabbi Yechonan's view here is consistent with his shita stated elsewhere that a makom ptur is batal the chiasa rabdimi. Rabdimi came. Omar Rabbi Yechon. He stated the following name of Yechon. Makom she'im ba arbo al arbo. You have an area, a small elevated area, which is less than 4x4 tefachim, which is situated, for instance, between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. Mutar levnei Rosh Hashanah ulevnei Rosh Hashanah katef olav. Both the people of Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah can put their loads on it. They can use it because it's batal to Rishus Rabim. It's batal to Rishus Yachid. It's not considered like transferring something from one Rishus to the other. Provided they don't switch things, they don't actually use the Makam Torah as a transfer point between Rishus Yachid over to Rishus Rabim. That's Madura Banan, because it might appear to somebody like somebody carried from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim. Therefore, you're not meant to take something from Rishus Yachid, for instance, and transfer it through the Makam Torah, put it there, and then pick it up and bring it into Rishus Rabim. Fine. But otherwise, unless you're actually transferring it from one Rishus to the other, they both can use it freely. The Rishus Yachid people can put their stuff on it. Rishus Rabim can do likewise, because a Makam Torah is batal. It's batal to Rishus Yachid. It's batal to Rishus Rabim. Says the Gemara. Fine. So this is Rabbi Yechon l'shitasai, and that's Rabbi Yechon over here holds that members of both chatzeres can freely use the top of this wall, which is batal. Says Rav Lesley de Rav Dimi. Does Rav not concur with this halacha of Rav Dimi that a makam p'tur is batal? And Rashi points out it's actually a brisa which teaches us this halacha. So how can it be that the Rav doesn't agree with it? Says the Gemara, Iber Shri is the Raisa Chanami. In that case, where the Makam Tur is adjacent to Rishus Yachid, Rishus Rabim, and the issue there is Melacha Veitzah. Certainly, Rav would agree that Makam Tur is not reckoned with. It's no concern. Because we're speaking about Rishus Mehatur, the concern is a Melacha Mehatur. Hachamai Eskinan. Over here in our case, you know what we're speaking about? Rishus Rabbanan. The issue here is Erev Chatzeris. That's the whole concern, which is a din d'rabbanan. When it comes to d'rabbanan, we find sometimes chachamim reinforced their halacha. They applied it even more stringently than a melacha hanhatur. The chachamim also chizik l'devrayim yoyser mishalter. Chachamim reinforced their words, their takana, like the erev chatzeris takana, even more than they didn't tur. The concern that perhaps people might neglect the Issa Drabban, it's only Drabban, therefore the Chachamim reinforced and strengthened it. And they applied a Chumrah to Drabban, which is not even present by Dereis. Therefore, says Rav, I agree to the concept that a Makam Torah is bottled through Sayachar, Sarabim. But that's only when it pertains to a Malacha Dereis. We say there's no concern there of transferring to Makam Torah. But when it comes to a issue of Drabbanon, like Erev Chatzeris, a causal situation between two Chatzeris where the concern is the Drabbanon or Erev Chatzeris, I'm more concerned here. And therefore, we're going to be machmer, even in the case of Makam Ptur. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, two lines from the top. Makam Shein Bo Dalet, Roichav, it's less than 4x4 wide, Va'omed Ben Shseyach Rishus Rabim, situated between Rishus Shseyach and Rishus Rabim, Beishli Heker, it has some sort of recognition, meaning it's not just a piece of floor, it's somewhat of elevated piece of property, Ki Goyim Gevoyim and Eretz Gimel. For instance, it's 3 tefachim lifted off the ground. That's called the Makam Tur. V'ilo ha'ya roichav dalet. Now, if it would be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim in surface, ha'ya nikrish just la'atzmai. It would be considered its own entity. Va'bi karmelis, va'asa l'kan l'kan. That would be considered a karmelis, because it has some significantly sized surface area. Aval achshav nikr Makam Tur. Now that it's less than 4, it's a Makam Tur. U'muta l'kan l'kan. And as a result, the people on either side are allowed to lekatif olav master shulhan to place their load on this place. Uvash leachlifu, drabanne. They shouldn't switch things around. They shouldn't transfer from one rishus sayachid all the over to the other rishus rabim. Dilu chiyuv lecha. It says drabanne because really midaraisa no chiyuv. There's nothing inherently wrong midaraisa. Even when one transfers from a rishus sayachid to rishus rabim through makam tur, why? Why is this not a din daraisa? The beinan akira mishesu, vanachol mishesu. Menat Torah. The only way it's considered a malacha is if you lift something off one rishus and deposit it in the rishus rabim. Right? So you take it from rishus yachid, lift it there, bring it all the way over directly and deposit rishus rabim or vice versa. As opposed to this case where the makam tur intersected. V'ach akirim rishus yachid gemura. He picked it up from the rishus yachid. V'anochel makam tur. He placed it in the makam tur. So that terminated the mas v'akirim makam tur. And then lifted off the Makam Tur and placed in Rishus Rabim, so there was something in between. So it wasn't one continuous act of it. So, Minat Torah, there's no Chiv, but there are Banan. You're not meant to do it. So that people wouldn't erroneously conclude from here that you can transfer directly from Rosh Hashanah to Rabban. Okay, so that's a din de Rabbana. But in any case, when it comes to just placing your load on this makam tur, whether you're in a shayachid or a shisram, it's okay, because it's batal. So this is consistent with Rav Yechon's view that the chatzar that has a wall next to it, which is narrower than four tefachim, is allowed to freely use that wall without any concern. Says on Rav, less like the Rav Dimi. Rav doesn't hold it, it's bitzmiya, meaning it's a wonder. Does he not hold? V'masnisi, v'mesechah shad perakam, this is a brayse. Oy, v'dodo al-skufa. Person can stand on the stoop in front of the home, which is a makam tur. And it's batal. Noitel ma'ani v'naisen loy, ma'abayis v'naisen loy. He can take something from the ani who's standing shes rabim, and he can give him something back, because it's being transferred from shes rabim to makam tur. Likewise, he can turn inward to the Baal Bayis who's in the home in Rosh Hashayachid and transfer freely. Baal Bayis v'noisenlai, can take something from him, give him back something. Provided he doesn't take from the Baal Bayis in the Rosh Hashayachid and uses himself as a transfer point to bring it out to the Onish Saram, as we mentioned before, we're not meant to transfer. So does Rav not hold of this? It's a Braisa. And says the Gemara, that's speaking about Rosh Hashayachid. The concern is a Melochim in Atera. So then, so we apply this concept of Makam Tur being batal. In contrast to us, which is the Rabban, Chatzeres, the Rishus Yochid V'Yochidu, they're really both Rishus Yochid. And with the Rabban and the Asa, it's only with the Rabban you can't transfer one to the other without an Erev. So the context here is Issa the Rabban, Chacham more concerned by the Rabbanon, lest people neglect it, and therefore they reinforced the Halacha and applied it even in the case of a Makam Tur. So conclusion, regarding using the Rosh HaKoisel, the top surface of the wall, which is situated between two chatzeres. So if it's four tefachim wide, all agree you can go up there and eat, because it's its own independent entity. What if it's not four tefachim wide? That's considered like a makam tur. As a result, Rechon says, people on either side of that koisel can freely use it, because it's bottle. It's not reckoned with. Rav on the other hand says, no, liyazes boy afilu kulei nima. Don't move anything at all. Why? The one concluded that when it comes to Rishis deraisa, he agrees. A makam tur doesn't have to be accounted for. Here it's Rishis derabbanon. Speaking about the chiyuv of every chatzeris, Rishis derabbanon, chamu machmir. And even when it comes to a makam tur, not allow transfer. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabba. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Nachum. Koisel shaben shtei chatzeres. So you have this wall running between two courtyards, and the top surface of that wall is more easily accessed by one chatzer than the other. It's within 10 tefachim to the chatzer. So you have a chatzer and a wall, which on one side is within 10 tefachim to the ground, and the other side is 10 tefachim or more. So it's more easily accessed by one side over the other. Says Rav Nachman Chiddush, we're going to grant it. We're going to grant exclusive usage rights to the members of the chatzar who can more easily access this wall. Koisel shebein shnei chatzeres. You have a koisel between two chatzeres. So this is the koisel we discussed in our Mishnah. We have a chatzar on either side. It's bein shtei chatzeres. Tzidei echad gavoya aser tefachim. On one side, the top of the wall is lifted 10 tefachim off the surface of the ground below. V'tzidei echad shav al aretz. However, on the other side, it's equal to the ground. Rashi and Tosfos both point out, it doesn't mean it's equal, rather it means that it's within 10 tefachim. So it's more easily accessible, because the distance between the ground and the top of the wall is less than 10 tefachim. So what's the halacha there? Noisin oisoi leze sheshaval aretz. We grant exclusive rights, exclusive usage rights of the top of that wall to the chatzer who is closer to the top of the wall, the one that's within 10 tefachim to the top of the wall. Why? Mishum dahava leze tashvisha benachas. Because when we encounter such a situation where we have an area which, to the members of this chatzer, it's more accessible. It provides for more convenient use. In contrast to the fellows on the other side, who are going to use this surface of the wall with difficulty, because it's above 10 tefachim. So since we have such a situation where it's closer to this one than to that one, whenever we encounter such a scenario where this surface is more easily accessible to one than to the other, we grant it to the one who can more easily access this area. It's considered to be his usage area. It's considered to be an extension of his property. Now, of course, we're not speaking about granting it to him as far as ownership. It's a Shabbos halach. Meaning there's no need for him to involve the other chatzer in the Erev Chatzeres here. It's considered to be his area of usage, exclusively his, without any interference from the other side, because it's an extension of his chatzer, because he and only he can easily access this area. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Around 20 lines from the top. It says, Rashi, v'tzid echad shav l'aretz. So we have this kaisel, which on one side is lifted 10 off the ground, on the other side it is within 10 to the ground. K'leimer gavayuhu min ha'achas, v'normachu l'chaveret. On one side, he's 10 tefachim off the ground. On the other side, he's within 10 tefachim to the ground below. K'gai shekar g'isa shazu gavayah, for instance, one chatzer's level is higher than the other. That results in this type of scenario. And Rashi points out that although the Gemara says shav l'aretz, the top surface is level to the ground, it doesn't literally mean level. It means kol kamet lo gavayah yud, as long as it's not situated at a distance of 10 tefachim from the earth below, currently shav l'aretz, that's what the Gemara describes as being shav l'aretz. The point here is that it's within 10 to the ground. That makes for easy use and easy access. Nice and oisai, therefore we grant it, lahalos lahard mi olav. We grant it to the fellow who has it easier. He's allowed to transfer up on top and the transfer down from the wall. The chaver asar, and the friend on the other side is asar. That's the Racham's chiddush. That the one who has more convenient, easy access, he attains exclusive rights. Continues the Gemara. Just as this applies regarding the top surface of a wall, it's going to apply regarding a charetz, a furrow, a ditch, which is present between two chatzers. We'll also grant it to the chatzer who can more easily access it. Omar Shezvi Rav Nachman. Charetz shebein shtei chatzeres, if you have this furrow between two courtyards, see the echad omek asara, relative to one side, meaning one chatzer has it difficult. It's the bottom surface of that charetz is a 10 tefachim in depth, 10 tefachim deeper, lower than his chatzer surface. V'tzi the echad shav l'aretz, in contrast to the chatzer on the other side, which has it easier. The bottom surface of the charetz is within 10 to his surface. So what happens now? Noisnin oisai lezesh shav l'aretz. We grant exclusive rights to the chatzer who's closer. Same concept. We have an area which is more easily accessed and provides more convenient use to one over the other. He is granted exclusive rights. He can use it freely without involving his neighbor in the Erev Chatzeres. Now, why this repetition? Why does Rav Nachman need to teach us this halacha in two ways, two applications, one regarding a wall, one regarding a furrow? Says they were both on it. Diash mina kaisel. Had he only taught us this application of the kaisel, I would say, well, yeah, it makes sense that we grant exclusive rights to the chatzer, which finds himself closer to the top of the wall, because that's an area which is properly used. Mishum de begoiva mishtam shinshi. People use the top of the wall to store their things, because it's up high. It's easy. It's easy to access. Aval choretz. But a furrow which is down below, it provides difficult. It's a difficult usage area. But Imkel Mishtamish Inshi, people don't generally use spaces down below. Emaloi, so perhaps in this case we can't apply this formula. The formula here is based on ease of use, convenient access. Now, if this area doesn't really provide proper use, it's not a conveniently used area, this whole formula doesn't hold water. Why give it to him over him? Nobody, none of them, has proper use of this charetz. So perhaps we can't apply this formula. And therefore, Rav Nachman teaches us, no, even in the case of a charis, despite its drawback, we still consider it to be an area which provides proper usage and is granted to the chatzar, which can use it more conveniently. Had he only told us the halacha by the furrow, I would say, yeah, over there, he gets exclusive rights. Mishum de leibisa shmishta. Because people are not concerned about using it, meaning they have no concern putting stuff in the furrow. Aval koisel leibisa shmishta, contrast to the wall, which prevents some sort of scare, some sort of concern. It's beisa. This means it's scary, but here it means that there's a concern regarding putting stuff on top of the wall, concern that it might fall down, break. So perhaps due to that drawback, it's not considered to be a proper usage space. Amalai, and therefore perhaps we can't apply this formula. We can't grant it to him over him because the whole concept is based on ease of use and convenient makam shimush. This is not really a proper makam shimush to begin with. Amalai, perhaps you can't apply this formula. Tzricha, therefore Rav Nachman needs to teach us that we apply this formula in both cases. Whether it's the furrow down below, the kaisel up above, despite their drawbacks, they are still considered to be proper areas of use, and if it is more conveniently accessed by one chatzah over the other, he is granted exclusive rights over that area. He can use it freely without involving his friend and without making Erev chatzers. Continues the Gemara. Let's get back to the kaisel, which was 10 fachim high, situated between both courtyards. Balamate, let's say this fellow on one side of the wall would like to lessen the height of that wall, and as a result, have it be considered like a place which is more easily accessed by him than by the fellow on the other side. He wants to be granted exclusive rights. So let's say he piles up a mound of earth at the foot of the wall, which will result in lessening the distance between the ground below and the top of the wall. So it goes like this. If this mound of earth is 4 tfachim wide, so it's 4 by 4 tfachim, so you have the wall, a mound of earth, it's 4 tfachim wide, and it also runs 4 tfachim along the wall. So that's considered to be a shear of a Pesach, and as a result, we consider him as the person having access to the top of the wall, because let's remember the distance between the top of the mount and the top of the wall is less than 10 tefachim. So he has exclusive access to the wall, and it's considered to be his makam shimush. Im yesh miyuti arba, if it stretches, if it runs 4 tefachim along the wall, mutu l'shamash v'kla kaisel kuloi, this allows him, exclusively him, to use the entire top surface of the wall. Vim lav, but if it doesn't have that dimension, it's not 4 tefachim along the wall, in which case it's not wide enough to be considered a sheer Pesach. Ein mishtamesh el keneged hamiut. In this case, he can use the top of the wall, but only right above that mound of earth. So we have the wall, and the mound is here. He can't gain access to the entire wall, but he can have exclusive access to the area right on top of this mound. Says Gemara, what do you mean? Is it a Pesach or is it not a Pesach? Does it provide access to the wall? Then get the entire wall. Otherwise, get nothing. Manav Shach, how are you working this out? If this miut, this mound which is lessening the distance from top of the wall to his property, is effective, the kuli kaisel ashtamish, let him be granted rights to the entire wall. Ilo yahani, if it's ineffective, I feel connected to miut namilo. Then he shouldn't acquire the space even on top of that miut, on top of that mound. Amar Avina, we're not speaking about placing a mound of earth down at the foot of the wall. We're speaking about Kigon She'akar Chulya Mele Roshay. He removed a layer from the top of the wall. So this is his property. He has a wall, which is 10 tefachim high. He'd like to acquire exclusive access to the top of the wall. So he goes ahead and bores, he pulls a layer off the top of the wall. And this results in the space between that portion and the bottom of the wall being less than 10 tefachim, to provide him access to the top of the wall. So halacha here will be that if the layer that he pulled off the wall is 4 tefachim along the wall, That's considered to be a shir pesach that gives him proper access. That's considered to be a proper access point to the top of the wall. In which case, only he has access to the top of the wall, and it's all his. But if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, then it cannot be considered a pesach. That's not considered to be an access point to the top of the wall. So he doesn't have the rest of the wall. What does he have? He certainly has that spot. Because that spot is within 10 tefachim to the bottom of the wall. So that spot is considered to be his. So that's a pshat in the halach. If he's bala matay, meaning he pulls a layer off the top of the wall, if it's 4 tefachim wide, and that's a pesach to the rest of the wall, so he acquires shimush on the whole wall. But if it's only a small portion, less than 4 tefachim, then that's not considered to be an access point to the rest of the wall. But he still has something. He can use that portion because that portion is practically within his 10 tefachim. And therefore it's considered to be exclusively his usage area. Amar Bechil, I have another example of lessening the distance between floor to wall. Kofa Sefer. Let's say he inverted a pail. He took a pail, used it as a step, placed it upside down near the wall. Now, of course, we're speaking about 4x4 tefachim. Memait, that will be effective. Says the why? Va'amai dover nito b'shabasu. A pail is something you can just remove on Shabbos. V'dover nito b'shabas, eino memait. Something which can be removed on Shabbos doesn't really have permanence. It's not considered to be a mite. It's not really lessening anything. It's just something portable and temporary. That can affect the configuration and ratio and distance between floor to wall. Apparently, we're speaking where he inserted the pail partially into the ground. Now it's stuck. It remained there and can be effective in lessening the distance between floor to wall. Even in that case, why has he accomplished anything? That also can be pulled down on Shabbos without any concern. But Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Pagoshi Tmina Beteva. This fellow took a unripe fig and covered it with hay, which is Muktzah, in order for it to ripen. Vecharora Shitmina Begecholim. Charora is something like a baked item that he covered with Gecholim, with coals, which were still lit during the Ben Hashmashes of Shabbos. So although now they've been extinguished, but they remain Muktzah. So we have two things sitting on the Muktzah. Can he pull them out on Shabbos? Depends. Im Megula Miktzasa, if part of it is exposed, in which case he can grab onto that portion, they tell us for Shabbos. It can be pulled out on Shabbos. Despite the fact that he's going to be shaking off that Muktzah as he pulls the thing out. Likewise, this pail, although it's inverted in the ground, he can pull it out without any concern on Shabbos. Hachamai Eskinu was speaking about the Isleo Gnai. This pail has ridges. So he overturned the pail that has ridges coming out. Now these ridges are now being covered with earth. So in order to pull out the pail, he has to lift the earth. It's not just shaking it off, he has to actually lift it because it gets lifted together with the ridge of the pail. And then he can shake it off. So perhaps that's considered to be a more direct tiltal of Muktzah, and that can't be done on Shabbos. And therefore, it provides an effective mute, lessening of space between floor to wall, because it's stuck there throughout Shabbos. So that's more, b'chi yisli uknai, my havi. What's the concern? Even that can be pulled out on Shabbos. Because he's not directly interacting with Muktzah. He's pulling out the pail. So some dirt comes with it, that's okay. V'atanan, we learned in the mission. Ha'toyibin lefetz etznoin tachasakev. This fellow hides some turnip, some radish under the vine for storage purposes. Bizman shemiktas olin megulin. When some of the leaves are exposed, in which case he doesn't have to directly touch the earth, which is muktzah. He can simply pull it out by its leaves. Then there's no concern of muktzah. And there's no other concerns as well. There's no concern about kelayim, because he hadn't really planted it under the vine. Now Tosis points out that for the other concerns, kelayim and meiser and shvius that we're going to mention soon, there's really no need to have the leaves exposed. It would be mutter in any case. The reason why the Mishnah mentions it, exposed leaves is strictly on account of Shabbos in order to avoid muktzah. Because the exposed leaves allow him to pull it out without interacting with the earth below. Fine. So that's why the Mishnah mentions exposed leaves. But in any case, there's no concern whatsoever in this scenario. It's not an issa kelayim because it's not planting two species next to each other, just storing the vegetables underneath the vine. There's no concern that perhaps this vegetable took root and began growing down there, and he has to go ahead and separate some maser. No, Rashi says, it hadn't rooted. Therefore, it's not considered to have been planted. Nor is there any concern of doing this on Shavuos. He's not planting. And he can pull it out on Shabbos, despite the fact there's lots of dirt being removed here. This thing is fully buried in the ground. There's some leaves sticking out. When he picks this thing up, it's going to be some dirt lifted together with the vegetable, at least for the time being. That will shake it off. But it's a very direct tiltal of mukta. Still, we see it's mutter. It's considered to be an indirect tiltal. And it's mutter likewise in the case of the pail. Even if it has ridges which support some of the earth sitting on it, he's allowed to pull out that pail. That's mutter on Shabbos. So how can a pail be used to be memait the goig of the kaisel? Well, kaisel 10 tefachim high. He'd like to lessen the height, the distance between kaisel to floor, to give him exclusive access. How can a pail accomplish that? If a pail is something you just pull away on Shabbos, I can't effectively change the configuration of that structure. Says Moitzrich, apparently we're speaking about the boy marva chatzina. The pail has been so deeply embedded in the ground, and it would require a tool to get it out. A mora, a shovel, chatzina, an axe to dislodge it, which is a malacha min atira. So since you can't remove it on Shabbos, we consider it to be a permanent fixture here and can effectively reduce the height of the kaisel, and now we will consider the top of, surface of the kaisel to be within 10 tefachim and accessible to this person and granted exclusively to him. Continues the Gemara with a couple of other examples of reducing the height of the kaisel. Let's begin with a ladder. Let's say he leans a ladder against the wall. Does that grant him exclusive rights to the top of the wall since it's now accessible to him? Says the Gemara, depends what type of ladder. Depends what size ladder. Sulam ha-mitzri enumimait. If it's a small size ladder, mitzri is either, it's used in a mitzrayim, or mitzri perhaps means the restriction, mitzarim. So it's a small size ladder, in which case it's portable and not deemed as a permanent fixture there and can't effectively reduce the height of the wall. So sulam ha-mitzri enumimait. It's ineffective. Vatsuri, a larger size ladder, which is considered to be a permanent fixture there, mimait, it can reduce the height of the wall. Hey, chidami sulam ha-mitzri. What is an example of a sulam ha-mitzri which does not work? Amri dvei Rav Yanai. So he said in the Beis Medrash Rav Yanai, kol she'en le'abo chavakim. A sulam ha-mitzri describes a ladder which does not have four rungs. So since it's such a small size ladder, it's ineffective. Amalei Rav Acha, braid Rav Larvash. My time with the sulam ha-mitzri le'ma might. Why doesn't this small size ladder reduce the height of the wall? Amalei, he told him, L'shmilach. Oh, did you not hear this? The Omar of Achbar, Ada Omar Rav, Amnun Amarav. Mishum Dahavali, Dovash Nitu B'Shabbos. Because it's something that can be simply removed from place on Shabbos. V'chol Dovash Nitu B'Shabbos, Einu Memait. And something like that, something that can just disappear on Shabbos, can't effectively reduce anything. It can't be regarded as a factor here that will lessen height of walls. It's just a temporary phenomenon. That's why the small size ladder isn't effective. If that's the case, I feel it's tsurinami. Even a large size ladder, one can pull it away on Shabbos. There's no malach involved. So why is it effective? It says more hasam koivdoi koivai. You're right. Both things can be removed on Shabbos. It's not a halachic limitation here. It's koivdoi. It's weight. The fact that a large size ladder is heavy, that inevitably leads somebody to just leave it there. Hasam kaiv de kaiv, the fact that it's heavy, that creates results in permanence. And therefore, it can be considered as a reducer of the height of the wall. Om Rabbi, kaisel shebe shnei chatzeres. Now we're going to speak about another application of this concept. Let's say we have a wall between two chatzeres, and now we know it in the Mishnah, if there's a Pesach, a point of access along the wall, which allows the Bnei Chatzeres to cross over, that provides them with the option of joining together in one Erev. Says Abai, a ladder can also provide that. It can be considered a Pesach. So you have a wall and a ladder on either side. That creates an access point. It's like a Pesach. It says, Abaye koisel shebe shtei chatzirs. Gevoy asar tfachim. This wall is 10 tfachim high. V'niach sulam merochav avo mikan. And he placed a 4 tfach wide ladder alongside one side of the koisel. V'sulam merochav avo mikan. And likewise, another ladder, 4 tfachim wide, on the other side of the wall. So this provides access to both chatzeres. Ve'en ben zel zeh shloshet tfachim. Memayit. So we have a wall, and the members of this chatzer lean their ladder on the wall. The members of the other chatzer did likewise. Now, how close are these ladders to each other? So we have them like this, against the wall. So if they're within 3 tfachim of each other, which is lavad, considered to be close and connected, then we consider them to both be part of the same access point. They combine to join that Pesach and connect the two chatzeres. They now have the option of joining together in the Erev. But if they're too far apart, they're unrelated, they don't connect to each other, and they cannot form that access point to connect the two chatzeres. Koisel shebe shtei chatzeres, gevoy asar tfachim, v'niach sulam rochav avo mikan, v'sulam rochav avo mikan. Ve'ein bein zeh lezeh shloshet tfachim. The space between them is less than 3 tfachim. Memayit. That's effective. Memayit here means that it's as though the wall is lower than 10 tfachim, meaning we consider this to be a Pesach to connect both areas into one usage area, and they can make one Erev together. Shloisha, the space between the two ladders is 3 tfachim or more. Ein memayit, it's ineffective. V'le'amaron, this limitation, this 3 tefach law, only applies eladli have a kois labo. If the top surface of the wall is not 4 tefach wide, in which case it's kind of difficult to walk on it, and therefore the two ladders won't connect. There's no way to get from one to the other. I will have a kois labo, but let's say the top of the wall is 4 tefach wide, in which case it's a easily traversed surface. One can easily walk on top of that wall, get from one ladder to the other. Afilu muflug tuvanami. In that case, even if the ladders are far apart, they join and combine together to create a Pesach. You go up one ladder, you walk across the top of the wall, and go down the other ladder. Amar Rabbi Bar Abaye, pon itztva al gab itztva. This is going to be another version of being a mayit, the koisel. You have a chatzer, but a koisel. He'd like to create an access point to the Kaisel to attain exclusive rights for himself. How is he going to attain access? He's going to create a shelf, some type of structure, some type of stage, an itzva, some type of platform along that wall. So now if the platform is within 3 tefachim to the ground, so that is considered to be a proper step up to give him access to the wall. And also, it's 4 tefach by 4 tefach. So it's a proper shear of a Pesach. Then, if the space between that platform and the top of the wall is less than 10 tefachim, then he has attained access, and he gains exclusive rights to the top of the wall. Now, let's say he created an itztva, this platform, but it's less than 4 tefachim wide. It doesn't run 4 tefachim along the wall. So it doesn't have a shear Pesach. But he made another itzba on top of that, another shelf right on top of that. And that one has proper dimensions, 4x4 tefach. Problem is that one is not close to the ground, it's up in the air. So what do you do then? Amara bibirabai, bye bye. Bona itzba gab itzba. If he formed one platform on top of the other. Imish itzba tach toinar ba. If the bottom one runs 4 tefach along the wall, memayit, it's effective. Inami, alternatively, let's say the bottom one does not run 4 tefach along the wall, doesn't have proper dimensions. But the second one, up above it, is properly conformed, it's 4 tefach wide. And the distance between both platforms is less than 3, in which case we deem them to be one and the same entity connected, memayit, it's effective. So although the bottom one doesn't run 4 tefach along the wall, but since the top one does, and the top and the bottom one connect with each other, they join together to form that stepping stone up to the step ladder up to the wall, and it is now accessible to him, and he has exclusive rights to the top of the wall. And again, because the bottom platform is within three tefach to the ground, and therefore it's considered close enough to be accessible. It's like a step leading up to the wall. And since the top one has the four tefach, and that connects to the bottom one, so it's a properly conformed step. V'omar Rav Nachman Omar Rav Avor. So Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Bar Avor, Sulam. Same concept will apply to a ladder. Sulam Sheshlivois of Perchas. We have this step ladder. So a ladder with some rungs, one on top of the other. The same concept will apply. How wide does the rung need to be? We're speaking of a ladder that's placed against this wall to create access to the wall, to give him exclusive rights to the wall. So the rung needs to be four tefach wide, like a Pesach. Im yesh b'shliva tachtoin arba b'mayit. So if the bottom rung, meaning the one that's within three to the ground, which is easily accessible to him, so if that one is four tefach wide, runs four tefach along the wall, b'mayit, it's effective. Inami, alternatively, im b'shliva tachtoin arba. Let's say the bottom one is not four tefach along the wall, doesn't have the proper width. But v'yesh v'shliva al-yoin arba, the rung right on top of it has the proper dimensions, four tefach wide. V'ein ben zel zeh shloisha, and the space between the first and second rungs is less than three tefachim, which is lavud. Anything less than three is considered one and the same. V'mayit, then it's effective because although the bottom rung doesn't have the proper width, it's not four tefach wide. It will connect with the upper one; they become united together, and we deem the rung to have the proper dimensions. It's four tefach wide, and it will provide him access to the top of the wall, and it effectively reduces the distance between the top of the wall and his chatzar. It makes it accessible to him, in which case he attains exclusive access. He himself can use it on Shabbos without reckoning with his neighbor on the other side of the wall. So in summary, Rav Nachman taught us that if there's a wall or a charetz, a furrow, situated between two chatzeres, who do we grant it to? We give it to the one who has an easier time using it, who has more direct access. The one who is within 10 tefachim to that surface. Now let's say we have a wall which is 10 tefachim high. And he'd like to go ahead and mima mayit. He'd like to reduce the distance from the top of the wall to his ground surface below, in order to make it accessible to him so that he attains exclusive rights. He can do this provided that he creates this access point which is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, which has a din of a Pesach. We have four examples of this concept. We have the case where he removes Akar Chulia Marosh, he removes a layer, a top layer of that wall. Then we're told as well if it's four tefach along the wall, that creates a proper access point and the whole entire top of the wall is granted to him. If it's less than four tefach wide, he doesn't get the entire wall, but he has that portion because that portion is within ten tefach to the surface of the ground below. If he takes a seifel, a pail, and turns it upside down to use it as a stepladder up to this wall, and it's deeply embedded in the ground, which requires a malacha to remove, then it's considered to be a permanent fixture there for Shabbos, and effectively reduces the distance from the top of the wall, and he is considered to have exclusive access there. We learned about a ladder, a sulam atzuri, which has at least four rungs, that has been established by the Chachamim as a properly sized ladder. It's considered to be a significantly sized ladder, a heavy ladder, and that's considered to be a permanent structure, permanent feature there, which provides him access to the top of the wall and effectively reduces the distance from the wall to his chatzar, and therefore the wall is granted to him. We concluded with the case of an itztava, which is a platform or a shelf built alongside that wall, and it too can reduce the distance, give him access to the top of the wall, allowing him exclusive rights and use of the wall. We also learned about creating a Pesach between two chatzeres using ladders. You have a ladder on either side of the chatzer, of the wall. That provides Pesach, creates an access point between both chatzeres. And the Gemara told us that the ladders need to be within three tefachim to each other in order to combine, make one Pesach going from one side of the wall to the other. But if the Reish HaKoysel is wide enough to walk on it properly, it's four tefach wide. In this case, it's irrelevant how far apart the ladders were placed. Okay, time for a quick chazara of today's daf. We We began with the Mishnah, which described a wall which is running between two chatzeres. What is the halacha about using the top of that wall? So if it's 4 tefach wide, the members of both chatzeres can go up there and use it. They can eat the fruit that's sitting on top of the wall, because it's considered to be a separate entity. If the top of the wall is less than 4 tefach wide, which is considered to be a makam tur, Rabbi Yochanan says, it's batel, and therefore everybody can transfer to and from that area. Rav says, you can't move anything there. So although when it comes to Shesay Yachad, Shesay Rabim, which involves the Lachad Ereisa, Rav says the Makam Tur is batel, and one can freely transfer to and from Makam Tur. But when it comes to our context, which is a Din de Rabbanon, involving a Erev Chatzeres, Chacham were concerned and wanted to reinforce the Din de Rabbanon, lest people neglect it, and therefore, when Machmer, even when it comes to Makam Tur, they can't both access it, unless they make an Erev Chatzeres. We conclude with a concept of easy access. So if we have a wall between two chatzeres, the one has easier access, more direct use. It's within 10 tefachim to his property. He attains exclusive rights over that wall, and he can use it on Shabbos without involving his friend in the Erev Chatzeres. And the Gemara gave us several examples of it: removing the top layer of the wall, inverting a pail, using a ladder, creating a platform along the wall. And the Gemara told us this concept of a ladder can be applied even to create a Pesach between both chatzeres.